Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. Hi. This is Cappuccino. This is Marcia Cappuccino, and you have tuned in to the Global Vision for Living Today. And let me tell you guys something. With all going on in the world, seen and unseen, we certainly need vision. We need a vision that is not only going to work in our lives, that is one that is going to work in this universe. People are saying, oh my God, I don't even know. Why should I be interested in God? And you know, our show moniker is the Bible. So if you're saying, oh, they're always talking about God or his son or something that has to do with religion, well, guess what? Then you're at the right place. We certainly are always going to talk about a God, whether he's seen or not, felt or not. But let me talk to you real good this morning, because many are asking that question. Why should I be interested in God? Is he really interested in me? Where is he? What is he doing? Why should I be interested in a God that continues to let suffering and death reign supreme? What is going on with that God? Where is he at and what is he doing? Why should I be interested in anything about him? I don't know if he's interested in me. Well, this is part three, and we've been covering this for the last 2-3 weeks. People are not really interested in God, and we can see that. They're saying he's sitting high, he's looking low. I don't even know if he exists. Some said decades ago that he's dead. Is he really dead? Oh, my God, did I say that? Yes, I did. What is going on in the world? Why should I be interested in him? And this show is not one of debate. It's one of sharing information. It is not one of calling for truth. There can be no truth. If God is God, then God is God. So this is no argumentable debate about God and who he is and so forth and so on. But why should anyone be interested in God if they look out and see all of this mayhem going on? My God, is this part of some prophecy? Is this part of some kind of a punishment? What is going on in the world? Why should we be interested in God? God needs no cheerleader. He doesn't need any advisor. His world he created stands as his testimony as to why the universe should be interested in him. But you know what? Even those that are sitting high and looking low, they're talking, but maybe some of their activities show they're not really interested. Bishop used to say, my father, Bishop James Howard Mims, he used to say, don't grab your Bible on your way out to the car to come to church. He would say that. He said, people want to see a sermon rather than hear one. So are we on the right track? Why should anyone be interested in God and the shape the world is? We have Colonel Harrison with us today. I know you guys find him fabulous every time he talks. You know, if you guys want to know a little more, you're going to get on this dashboard. But God bless you for tuning in. How are you doing this morning, Colonel Harrison?
Doing very well. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. Just great to be on the line again with you in the listening audience. So doing well. I hope all is well for you as well, Doc. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. Hanging in here, but we have a situation, not only in America, but worldwide. People are looking at the carnage and the killing that has happened. Just this past week over in Afghanistan, they're wondering how can 13, 14 Marines get mowed down? Over 100 innocent people. And they're saying, it looks like some other God got the victory. And that's the one that we talk about on the show. The one in Psalm 83:18 that describes himself as the Most High God in the universe. People are wondering, what next? What is going on? Why every day you wake up, there's something more worse today than it was yesterday? Should people be interested in God that continues to watch from above and see all of these crazy things going on? Maybe some kind of punishment, but people want answers. Why should anyone be interested in God, this olden God, God billions of years in his age? Colonel Harrison, can you open up our show with an answer for that? Let's get some dialogue going. And you may not have an answer. You might have something to say, but you may not have an answer. But let's open up the show with that dialogue. Why should anyone be interested in the Psalm 83:18 God?
People should be interested in the Psalm 83:18 God, Jehovah, because he is the creator of heaven, earth, the world, and everything, the planets, sun, moon, stars, everything that dwells therein, and that mankind was God's highest creation. And God loves mankind as a result of mankind being God's highest creation. So God loves us, but God created mankind with free will. So we have the right to decide whether we want to acknowledge the Creator, Jehovah God, or not acknowledge him. When we acknowledge the Creator, then the Creator directs our life, our path, and guides us and takes care and provides for us. When we don't, when we ignore him, the opposite happens. We have chaos. We have murders. We have discord. We have disagreement. God is a God of peace and a God of love, and he loves us, but he will not force us to love him. So we have to tap into this God, Jehovah, because he loves us and he's the creator, and we should love him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the hands are raising already. When you say God loves us, are you saying that all of the wickedness, the evil, all the problems, all the trials and tribulations, all of the ugliness that's going on in the world, you're saying that God loves us, yet all of these things are occurring? I mean, how can you tell a millennial, Generation J, Gen X? I mean, how can you tell people that don't know God? They might sit up every week and hear about him, but when they go out that door, no one knows really what they're doing. How can you tell people that God loves them and they see all of the evil, the hate, the death, the mayhem going on? How can you put that out there to a generation past gone by, or even this one today? What can you say that would make any kind of sense to people that don't know God? They maybe heard a name, but they don't know him. How can you say God loves them?
I can say it, Dr. Capitina, and listening audience, by virtue of the fact that there are two kingdoms, what is happening presently on earth throughout the world, that there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan. So the two kingdoms, Satan's kingdom, is at odd against God's kingdom. And so the evil that is being perfected and that is occurring in the world today is caused by the kingdom of Satan. God is not a God that would cause evil to come upon people unless that person denounces God. So we have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. The evil is being perfected by Satan, who is also called the prince of this world.
Well, let me ask you this. How can a person denounce a God they don't know anything about? And I see what's happening on the dashboard. How can anyone denounce a God that they don't know anything about? They were brought up in a household where they never talked about God. They weren't encouraged to go to church. It used to be 70 years ago, if you didn't go as a parent, you sent your children. If you didn't go as a mother, grandma stepped out the door with their hat and bag and took them. How can you say that, or how can we put it out there with and for people that don't know God? isn't there a first step in what you're talking about? If they don't know God, how can they be encouraged to, oh, you better get to know God? Well, first of all, there's got to be a why in this picture. Oh, wow, why should I? Now, here come the real answers behind that, if some of these men of cloth can give them even at this late date. It's got to be, oh, you better get to know God. They're not teaching or talking about why. I know one group, before they do anything, it is why. And they take them at face value. You look beautiful. Do you know why you look like you look? Have you ever wondered about why your eyes are blue? I mean, first things first. Oh, my goodness. I think people need to be taught and told, if they're going to get out there, which, you know, you aren't seeing these ministers out there. They should be told why they should. Oh, you better get a no guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you think God would feel if people search deep within on that question, why should I get to know God? I'm not sure why I should be interested in something or some entity that I don't know anything about. But I think why should come in the picture. Wouldn't you agree with that, Colonel Harrison? Not what you better do. Seek, and you say search within. People on drugs can't do that. Mental illness stops people from searching within. What is within? Shouldn't people want to know why they need to be interested in God?
Yes, Dr. Capitina. People should want to know why they should be interested in God. And the reason why is because God, the Creator, God, Jehovah, has a plan and a purpose for everyone's life. He has a plan and a purpose for everyone's life. That's the primary reason we need to get to know who God is.
Mm-hmm. He has a purpose. If I grew up in a home that wasn't taught about God, I probably wouldn't know anything about a purpose. How would a person know that? Do you have a scripture in your heart and mind that you can put out there? Because this, we're going somewhere with this, you guys. Why? Why? Some used to say, oh, because God so loved the world, he sent his son, and they stopped there. But their actions betray that God. So let's talk about some of the reasons why should be interested in God. You have named one. But for the modern day man, we're talking 2021, August 2021. Why should I? Well, I'm going to say this. Number one, because if you're living, it is by God, grace, by the attitude of God toward his creation, why you should be interested. There was an old saying from my father, God didn't have to do you. And that brings it more personal. That's because this title is, why should I? Why should I? Not your mama, not your grandpa, but why should I be interested in God? Sure, they didn't teach me anything. They didn't take me to church. I didn't see a Bible in my home until I got out and bought one of my own, and I don't even know where it is. No one's reading that book. They're reading world events. They're reading circumstances. They're reading the preacher standing up there, if he's standing at all. There was an article that I sent out, and about 20 news papers have picked it up. It's talking about these people. Some of these younger people, 18 to 40, don't want God, don't want to hear about it, and not in a church, and don't intend on going to one. That's why some people are going to them. They're not coming to you. You got to get out and knock on their door. You got to go to them. Jesus didn't sit and wait till they came by the Sea of Galilee. He went on foot It wasn't no, I don't have no gas, or I can't get there. My car broke down. Jesus is the example. So these people of today that don't know him, don't know how to tap into him, don't know who to go to. Oh, you could be going to Agent of Satan, standing up there, Antichrist, talking about God. But a person to be interested in God has got to know why. Why should I? What has he done? Who is he? Colonel Harrison, what has God done that people should be interested in him? I'm talking about something tangible, not what a book said, but you and I, ministers, what has God done that someone should be interested? He doesn't need a cheerleader or an advisor. His world he created, it stands as a testimony to what he's done. But why should an individual, not grandma in the next bedroom, but you, I, why should I be interested in God?
Because God created mankind, man and woman, in his image, in his likeness,
mm-hmm.
and created us so that we would be loving. So we're created in the mere image and the likeness of the Godhead, and the difference between God is he's an invisible supernatural being and we are a three-dimensional fleshly being, but made in the likeness and the image of God, and therefore God, us being an extension of God, and God gave us life, therefore God has a plan for us, a plan to purpose us, a plan for us to prosper, and so that we might have an expected end. We live in this life and then transition from this life to eternal life. So God is God, and we're made in the image and likeness of him. And so therefore we have an obligation to get to know who he is, because without God, we would not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Mankind
mm-hmm.
would not exist. Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a question here. Why did God create us in his image? We are telling thousands that oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. That's what he did. Well, why did he do that? Because we're on to why should I be interested in God? Why did God create mankind to live a few hundred years, and they're not even doing that now? That was 6,000 plus years ago. Right now, you're lucky if you live to be 70. Why would he create man? And here we are in 2021, dying 60, 70, 80 years old. Why did he do that? What was his purpose? Let's talk about God's purpose, and then maybe I'll be interested in him. What was God's purpose?
God's purpose was created man kind to glorify him on the earth. The first man that was created was placed in a garden, was given to be a caretaker over the garden. So God wants us to be caretakers of this earth, this world that he has created, and the trees, the birds, the bees, the flowers, the plants, the vegetation, and everything in it that exists. Want us to be caretakers and then reproduce our own likeness. As we are an extension of God, those of us who have children, our children become an extension or offsprings of us. And so that we would multiply and beautify and glorify the earth, because God is the creator of it, and he's charging us to be stewards and caretakers over that which he has given us to be in charge of. So mm-hmm. it all comes together in that regard.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what you're saying is that God did all these magnificent things, and then he's sitting down, looking down. Is that what you're saying? He has created days, and mankind appeared, animals, everyone, and then now he's just sitting down. Well, what is he doing now? What is God doing now if he did that then? Created everyone in his image. Well, I'm sure he's not happy now with the image of some of us. So what has God been doing all down through the centuries? And that's the question. Thank you, whoever you are. What has he been doing in 6,000 plus years? What is he waiting on? Everyone's trying to kill each other. Is the drugs not taking them out? Murder and mayhem is taking them out. So what is he doing? What has he been doing since he created man in his image? What has he been doing?
Excellent question.
And what is he
Excellent
doing
question.
Now? And well, yes, and what is he doing now? And you know what, Pastor Colonel, I never thought of that. Well, what has he been doing? Bishop used to say, sitting high, yep. looking low. So what has he been doing?
Yes.
And what is he
yes.
doing now?
Yes, God is in heaven on the throne, his kingly throne, sitting high, looking low. John 3:16. Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2,000 years ago, God sent his only Son from heaven to earth. His name is Jesus, to redeem mankind from death, hell, and the grave, because God saw that mankind has lost his way, didn't take care of the first garden that he gave them with everything, with fruit and herbs and everything, and then it transgressed, and then evil and wickedness came into the world. So God sent his Son, Jesus, 2,000 years ago to be the salvation of mankind. And those who would accept his Son, then God would redeem them from death, hell, and the grave and return them unto him, because we're made in the image and likeness of God. So there are those who have believe in Jesus, and there are those who do not believe in Jesus. And so Jesus is the Savior of the world. So that's what God has done, to fix a fallen world with the sin and the wickedness and the bombing and the discord and hatred and the evil. God sent his Son to fix it. And all we got to do
yeah,
is accept his Son.
Yeah, okay.
And God has sent a solution. He has sent the solution. Jesus, his Son, is the solution that God sent. 2,000
okay,
years.
So the question was, what has God been doing? You named two things, but you're talking about what his Son has done. What has God been doing? I think I'm going to write that down, because that's going to be a topic for further consideration. And the fact of the matter is, no one really knows what God has been doing. Someone is putting that here on screen, and I believe that no one really knows what he's been doing. He sent his Son to be the redemption power. No one really knows what God is doing. All we have is Genesis, if we're Bible believers, Bible students, Bible. No one really knows, and another organization said that. We are working in the confines of what God has already done, but no one has been up to heaven and said, okay, tell me what you've done in the 11th century and the 13th and all that. No one really knows. And that is the problem of modern day religion. It's too much to prove that one man, one woman, a group cannot actually do. This is why some groups have hundreds of thousands running in every month, because they're saying they're cutting the bacon, cutting the fat off the bacon. But now, right now, you said something very interesting, and it sounded like a sermon. If we're going to give people a sermon, then you got to cut in. Genesis 3:18 says so and so. And if you want to know what God has, First and Second Kings are that. I think we've got to give the people some kind of reference. Don't take my word for it, because that might be how I feel. It may not necessarily be how anyone else feel, but we're talking about, why should I be interested in God? We have 21 ways for a person to get to know God, and I think those that are listening, and I know I can't click everyone in trying to talk. We can't do it. This is not this kind of a show. But because we want to bring you the best and the common sense, oh, my God, no wonder the world is crazy. You got to, we're bringing you common sense answers for some of the problems. You should be interested in God after you get to know God. I can't sit up here and give you what I think and what I feel. That's me. I'm going down the street with that. If it works for me, fine. It works for me. But this is not about me. It's not about Colonel Harrison. It's about giving the information that you need to know why you should be interested in God. Because if you don't get interested in him real, real fast and in a hurry, the consequences might not be good. So why should I be interested in God? 21 ways. 21 ways to get to know God. Let's get to know him first before you're interested in him. I'm not going to be interested in driving a Porsche if I haven't been behind the wheel. How stooped can I be? And I'm not leading you guys down that path. Colonel Harrison's not leading you down that path. Oh, well, I think this, I think that's you, going with you. But if we really want to know why we should be interested in God, you got to know him first, okay? Let's start this off. Colonel Harrison mentioned 2 weeks ago prayer. Pray. Pray to get to know God, not going out there finding Lucifer's brother, trying to ask him how to lead you anywhere. Who is he? Especially if he got flesh and blood, he could be dead tomorrow. Your cutoff link is gone. Pray, number one, to get to know God. Number two, turn away from dead works, bad works. You know what they are. Bad works, anything evil or tainted by evil. I'm not going to give you any others because 21 ways. We want you first, before you do anything. No, don't be interested in God if you don't know nothing about him. So those are the two ways. A third way is to make sure when you pray to God and you turn away from bad works, now you have to promise God that you are going to do his will and work the works of him while it is day. What are those works? So 21 weeks. 21 ways, and next week, Colonel Harrison will be in a very important meeting. He will not be with us next week, but I will be here next week, God willing. I'm knocking on wood. And we're going to go over each of those 21 ways. 21 ways. It's no need of us every week getting on here talking about, God said this, oh God. And you don't know nothing about him. That's stupid. That's why the world of religion is where it's at. I started years ago writing a book, The Rise and Fall of American Religion in the United States. And I was at a very wealthy ministry in the city. It's called Palos Verdes. And I won't mention the church. Very well known. Anybody with any money, that's where they go. And I met with some of the board members, and they begged me. They said, oh, please don't write that book. And I knew that they knew if I wrote it, I'm going to put truth in it, and it was going to be some kind of an edict against the American churches. And that was back then. I don't even want to talk about them now. Colonel Harrison is a minister, so we're not grounding out any churches because some are standing with that bloodstained banner in their hand. But while it is still day, you guys got to be interested in God. Whether he's interested in you or not, Colonel Harrison already said, if he created you, he must be interested in you. In the likeness of his son, then he sent his son to redeem back man from sinful state, works of the God of Eden. So you should be interested in him, and you're going to learn more. Colonel Harrison, let's wrap this up. In closing, what is the number one reason why anyone should be interested in God?
The number one reason we should be interested in God is because God is the only one that can offer us eternal life. That's the primary reason, physical life, and that's life without end. And there's no other being, there's no other person, there's no other thing, there's no other object that can offer you that. That's the reward of mankind after this life.
Hey, man, I love that. And that's certainly biblical. I know someone is saying the Egyptians offered that same thing. Well, you do have a point. They were master mummifiers and they believed in afterlife. So, okay, we're going to get into that. That's why 21 ways and reasons why a person should get to know God. Because as you can see, there's so many things out there that wants to challenge and stand tall by this biblical God. God bless you all. Thank you, Colonel Harrison. Come on back next week so you can get this list on 21 ways to get to know God. God bless you. Have a great weekend.